Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bulbacast episode number 10. I am Jesus Killer, of course, and joining us tonight will be PPM Steve, Welcome Palace Network.
Hi.
Hi, your friendly neighborhood BMG mod.
Hey, guys.
And last but not least, Archaic, Bulbagarden Webmaster.
Hey, everyone.
And we have a very busy show for you tonight. AG-171, the Deoxys Crisis Special. We will talk about that. Speculation about some of the episodes coming down the road, especially with the titles that have been announced on Bulbagarden very recently, as well as many call-ins. And for the first time ever, we will have a question-and-answer segment coming up later. But first, let's get our first call-in. Our first call-in for Bulbacast number 10 will be Nintendo Theater. Let's bring him on. Hello, Nintendo Theater. Welcome to Bulbacast 10.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just have two questions for you today. All right, the first one, as many of you are aware, the Mastermind of the Mirage Pokemon commercial aired today on Kids WB, and it revealed a lot, well, not a lot, but it revealed quite a bit about the new episode, such as Mewtwo talking without telepathy, apparently.
What?
Ash looks like fan art, and a lot of the, like, Misty's in it, and Max isn't in it, and May's in it, and now a bunch of commotion's gonna be coming up soon, and they showed another Mirage, Entei, which is kind of a weird thing, and, basically, what do you guys think of this new commercial, and what do you think is going to lead from it?
Well, first of all, I have to mention that I haven't even watched...
Neither have I. I haven't seen the commercial either.
We need to grab it from somewhere.
If anyone has it, we'll take it.
You want me to explain it?
Yes.
Yeah.
You do? All right. Basically, it started off where it showed Ash, Misty, and Professor Oak in a laboratory. And they were like, coming soon on April 27th or whatever. And then they showed like this weird scientist guy who looked really... He looked cool, but he was looked like a creepy character. Obviously the bad guy, the professor, bad guy. And they cut to a shot of the machine spitting out, like, a Mewtwo, an Entei, a Raikou, and a Suicune. And they were all, like, fuzzy and, like, Mirage-ish, I'm assuming. They were made by a computer, and they're a computer program, apparently. Mm-hmm. The Mewtwo busts out of the facility and starts attacking random things.
Of course.
It cuts to a scene of Ash up against, this, like, giant tank, which looked like where Mewtwo was born or whatever. And he's, like, trying to break through it. Then it cuts to another scene of Mewtwo fighting a bunch of random guys. First, Pikachu's headbutting Mewtwo. And Mewtwo's, like, doing pretty poorly against it. Then it cuts to a shot of Dragonite attacking Mewtwo. So maybe Lance is gonna come back or something, I don't know. And then it cut to another shot of a back shot of Professor Oak, Misty, and Ash, like, in shock. And then, like, and then the words Mastermind of Mirage Pokemon appeared on the screen, and they're, like, coming April 29th. That was the commercial.
Now, here's my question to you.
Yeah.
You said it was drawn like fan art.
Yeah.
Does that imply that it's a different animation completely?
That's what I've been wondering, is they've shown, the Pokemon looked all right, but the characters themselves did not look like the normal animation team at all. Like the shot where Ash is banging up against like the tube or whatever, his face looks very non-regular animator-ish. I don't really know how to describe it.
Stuff's gonna have a field day if this turns out to be not canon.
Yeah, really.
I already assumed that this was going to be as canon. It's like if you consider the whole the musical thing that they had here in the States, canon, then you could consider...
musical? What?
The whole... That what was it? The...
Pokemon Live, let's not go there.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you consider that canon, you could consider this canon. Otherwise, it's just a special, you know?
Yeah, it is.
But what really bugs me is you said that Mewtwo is talking without telepathy?
Yes, another
thing. Now
trigger.
I'm starting to see
but
why...
But it's not the original Mewtwo, it's some sort of clone Mewtwo.
I don't care if it's original or not, that's wrong.
And, well, I mean, do you think that's wrong? Really, if you think that's wrong, like, by the end of the commercial, it honestly looked like Mewtwo was using Flamethrower, Ice Beam, Thunderbolt, and Solar Beam all at the exact same time.
Oh, God.
So
it can use three of those attacks, I think, can't it?
It can use,
I know it can
think,
use Ice Beam and Thunderbolt. Not sure about the others.
But I kind of had some hope for the series up until I heard about the voice actor thing.
Another bit. Right.
Now I don't really have as much hope for this special, because that sounds pretty bad.
Well, but I mean, not to mention, the whole commercial, they didn't, other than, like I said, Mewtwo yelling, the whole commercial, there was, I don't know if it was intentional, but there was absolutely no talking at all. Like, you did not hear any of the characters
talking. Do they usually have the characters talking during commercials?
Well, some of them. Not all of them, but some of them do. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's back when I still had WB, it was an usual thing.
Right.
Back in the day.
I think it's just a surprise for them, for the people who don't know that they're going to reveal new voice actors.
Right.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, and that'll be the day when the ratings will probably sink down to the floor.
Luckily, we have reasons to believe. I know I talk about Silva quite a bit ever since it's come up, but we have reason to believe that the voices are stuck as the replacements for the ninth season, but that they are ready and willing to change them after the season afterwards if the fans don't like it. Which, as many of us fans can tell you, we don't.
Well, you don't know if you will or won't like them.
No, I know.
The episode airs on
right now, you've just got a knee-jerk reaction. Anyway, I want to see this CM, and I hope it is put up on Pocket Monsters soon. I'm sure
it will be capped. Trust me, it will be capped.
It must be, or there will be a revolution.
All I'm saying is you have to poke Bry7X with an extremely long stick.
Mm. Well, we do want to see it anyways. Mm-hmm. Got to make our judgment on it.
Right. Yeah. Probably going to watch it live and other things.
Well, I don't know about watching it live.
I can't watch it live.
Poor bud.
Yeah, it aired this morning, so. Like, right between the Mime episode and... The Oak episode, where, like, they're all back at the laboratory and the Cleffa episode.
Oh, I don't know. We'll have to see. One quick question. What costumes were Ash and Misty in?
Very, very good. Misty was in the AG costume, and as was Ash. They were all in their Advanced Generation costumes. They weren't in, like, the old... Contrary to what that little the little flyer had them in their normal outfits, that's not how it was. So.
Okay.
Now, I wonder, the animation style, you said it was different. Did you notice any... I know you probably said this, but besides the character's facial features, did you see any degrading of the quality at all, or did it look like the same thing?
Other than the facial expressions, like, it basically looked pretty good. Like, especially when Mewtwo was shown battling Pikachu and shown battling Dragonite. Mm-hmm. Very good shots. And when, like, he's coming out of the laboratory, it all looked really good animation. So, like, some people... It's going to be a very debatable episode no matter what on animation, but just because it's not by the traditional, like, Japanese...
Just to try and get an idea of the style. Is there another series that you could probably compare it to that makes it look more like than, say, anything? Or does it just look different?
Alright. I don't know if this is bad or good for any of you, but the facial expressions definitely looked like Yu-Gi-Oh! GX.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's what I was afraid you were going to say.
From the 2 seconds I saw the facial expressions, definitely Yu-Gi-Oh! GX-ish.
I was very afraid of that. Okay.
Yeah, that's scary.
But no, characters didn't look any older, did they?
No, not at all.
So it's still just a variation of their current appearance, not like
very drastic. It's like the little 6-year-olds and 5-year-old kids that are watching the show probably will not notice, but people like us in the 16 and up category who watch Pokemon basically will be the ones who take notice. But the little kids who watch the show continuously every Saturday, you know.
I gotta say, don't assume they're gonna notice just because they're quote-unquote little kids. I could debate that with you right now, but I'm going to avoid it because that would waste up a lot of time in the VulvaCast.
That's
and
true.
Sick, and we don't want to bother our call-ins because we love them, and we don't want to scare them off the show forever.
But it'll be interesting to see, though, if they'll spin it off into another series, their own
I hope not.
I hope not either, because maybe they'll start to tune out the others. Then they'll start making their own. And
no!
Then it'll be...
No!
I've sort of got some speculation regarding a spin-off that... actually, this is speculation coming from Japanese fans. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if this is the best time to mention it, but basically, if you have a look at the title for the new movie that's coming out this year, it's not being billed as an Advanced Generation movie. It's being billed as a Ranger movie.
Oh.
Oh, God.
It is not Pokemon Advanced Generation, yada, yada, yada. It's Pokemon Ranger, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, no.
Now, that...
Yeah, but the characters...
As long as they don't... As long as it doesn't take over the main series, that would suck.
Right. If it goes out separately, then that's fine. Oh.
Spinoff? Good. We want spinoff. Spinoff would be good. We would love Pokemon USA.
Yeah.
We would love... Yes. No, not Pokemon USA. We'd love Pokemon in Japan forever if they started doing this stuff. But if they took over the series, we'd probably... I think several of us would just get up and leave right now.
I could see...
Sadly,
honestly, if they took over Pokemon with Ranger for... say 13 to 26 episodes, just to give them some filler between Advanced Generation and whatever the Diamond Pearl season would be, that would work.
Now, I'd like to see, if they're going to have it take over the series, I want to see Ash be a Ranger. That would be cool. If they're getting going to toss Ash for a side for a while, nah, I don't think that would work.
If someone's going to become a Ranger at this point, it will be Masato.
Well, who said it can be temporary? And, well, I guess Masato, based on Deoxys' special, could have reason to become a Ranger, but he doesn't really seem like the type.
I could just see him with, like, a little like, Plusle or Minun sitting on his shoulder.
Oh, God. Or the new, or whatever new Pikachu clone we have this fourth generation. You know there will be some Pikachu clone.
Plus, maybe Minun weren't a Pikachu clone. They're not rats. They're little bunnies.
They're very so Pikachu-ish that they were definitely based to... You can't deny that they were at least partially intended to leech off the Pikachu fame, much as Pichu was. And you know that there's going to be something that looks somewhat like Pikachu in some manner in the fourth generation. You can't deny it.
Have they done Squirtles yet?
There's,
Now that's a scary
Sentret.
Thought.
They've done Sentret, but that's kind of different.
That's a very scary thought. An electric Sentret with red cheeks shooting. Oh, God.
Makes me think of Animal Crossing, because there's some sort of squirrel that's purple with yellow zigzag, and his name is Static.
Yes. Animal Crossing is a great game, but it's not Pokemon.
And it's not the point of this podcast, so let's move.
No, it's
let's
fine. It's fine. I love Animal Crossing. Don't get
yeah,
me wrong.
Yeah, yeah, we all do. I think we all love... Every Pokemon fan loves animals enough that they love Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Unless you're one of the ones who plays the game because you like to see the Pokemon get beat up. In which case, you're a horrible, horrible person.
Oy, yeah, yeah.
Anyway!
Oy,
yeah,
yeah.
All right, before we get more destructive, I think we should move on.
Yeah.
Yes,
next question.
If you have any more,
oh sure,
just quickly. But sure. We do have other call-ins to come in. So.
Exactly.
All right. My other question was: they just revealed the new two episode titles, the Team Rocket leaving one, and the Pewter Gym battle. Yes.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we can't give you the discussion on this one because.
Oh.
That would give you two huge discussions.
All right, can I do
That's
one?
That's kind of unfair for one caller.
Oh, well, can I do one?
Yes.
All right, yes, good.
I guess.
Pewter Gym one?
Pewter Gym, yes, yes.
All right, who do you expect to be the two on the... Since they said it's going to be a double battle, who do you expect to be the two defending Pewter City Gym and the two trying to take it over? Or whatever they're trying
actually,
to do.
They said tag battle. Now
yeah.
I'm trying to remember if that is actually a double battle or not, but
I think it's actually that's a good point.
Yeah.
I think the Winstrait family thing was considered big tag battle thing. So
when tag battle comes to my mind, I'm thinking of movie 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's basically two trainers.
Is this
one Pokemon.
Two trainers one Pokemon or one trainer two Pokemon? That's the point.
I think it's going to be 2-1. Two and two.
Yeah, I don't think they would have them share one Pokemon because, quite frankly, if they're going to start...
No, two trainers, one Pokemon each.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Exactly. I was a little confused there, too. Like, one person going like Ludicolo, water gun, and the other one's like, no, bullet seed, water gun, bullet seed, no, push. You know.
But I really hope that
it's gonna be two and two.
I gotta say. Yeah. Lola, her chances of being in this being one of the defenders, very, very low. Flint, a little higher, but not as much. I've got my bets on that the defenders are going to be Brock and Forrest.
Yeah, same here.
And which is going to be awesome because it's going to be Brock's old Pokemon versus Brock. I mean, fighting alongside
with
Brock's
new
Pokemon.
Right.
And that's as good
would
as
the challenger be?
Now that's a good question. I mean,
maybe
a lot
it'd
of
be
people,
family members.
It could be, or it could be Ash and May.
Yeah, there's.
The defenders could even be Brock and Ash.
I don't think that Brock would go up against his own gym just as.
No, I said defenders.
Oh, defenders.
Right, the ones defend. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that they have enough people at the gym that they're going to have someone besides Brock as one of the defenders, and
You think that same thing with Cerulean Gym, but no, they all bug it off and let Misty do it.
Well, Misty's family is different. Misty's family is not very nice.
Yeah, but let's say that Forrest is injured or whatever, can't compete. The mother is not exactly suited, and Flint is
a lazy bastard.
But I don't think that they would bring it to the Pewter Gym and then not have someone from the Pewter Gym fighting, especially when they have three potential people, even if Brock's parents are both rather unlikely.
I think it was Archaic who mentioned this a couple of Bobacasts ago, where he was talking about the pyramid being mobile.
Yes, it is near Pewter.
Okay, I was just going to say that I think it's probably going to stay in Pewter now. So, pretty obvious.
Probably going to be there for a little while.
Well, getting back to who the defenders versus challengers.
Back to that. I just wanted to.
Now, since there's got to be someone they're going to be defending against, and while the popular theory is that they're going to be going up against Ash and May, the fact that they're being called defenders makes me wonder if there's someone who's actually.
Well, they're not being called defenders. The title is Defend the Gym in a Double Battle. The word defend is written as a command.
Right.
Yeah. So at one point they could be defending their gym's reputation and that's why they're going up against Ash and May. But
in which case, then it would be probably Brock and Forrest.
Yeah. So. But at the same time, I think there's a pretty good chance that what we could be seeing is actually either someone like Team Rocket trying to go up against the gym, or some sort of some characters du jour who don't like the gym and want to like take it down or take it over or something.
Do you want to know speculating about?
Who?
Okay. Again, this is Japanese speculation.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, the characters from the Raikou special, Kenta and Marina.
Ooh.
Mm.
Now
why?
That would be
because
cool.
They go to Kanto at the end of GSC, don't they?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
It's a good theory, but at the same time, there's not really anything that would give us a good reason to believe that that's what they're going to do, unless they mentioned something that.
Of course, do we have any other proof for Ash and May, or do we have any other proof for Rocket Dan? I mean, it's like.
Well, fact it's assumed.
We don't even know if Rocket Dan will still be in the anime by that stage.
But we'll discuss that later.
Yeah, we'll discuss Rocket next week. Then.
Some rocket shippers are going crazy. They're going to go. They're going to leave the series, and we're going to get the manga.
Anyway,
get married.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could happen.
Well,
it could.
Well, thank you for calling in, Nintendo Theater. I know you have any more questions to ask, but there are so many callers.
Such a good week, you know.
Yes, exactly. Mm. It's very busy, and we appreciate your call.
Yep.
Oh, of course. I love being here anytime. So. It's always fun.
All right, Nintendo Theater. Thank
you
for calling.
All right, cool. Till next time. All right, see you guys.
See you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
And that was fun.
Okay, so.
You know what the weirdest bit of speculation I've heard about the whole Team Rocket dissolution is?
What?
That the Team Rocket, the whole team, dissolves, and Jesse and James join Go-Go Dan.
What?
Wow.
I've heard the first part, not the second.
These are the people that are on live boards? Or whatever
no.
They're called? Mm. Live?
Other places. But basically, it ties into the whole, could they be doing a Ranger arc thing? And that was kind of the speculation there.
Well, it could happen, but
I mean,
have to wait and see.
of course, they might have been talking in jest. I'm not entirely sure there. Unfortunately,
maybe.
I can't exactly tell sarcasm from actual opinion in Japanese speech yet. But anyway,
okay,
could happen.
It could happen. Yes. I think it's a very good possibility.
Anything could happen.
Mm-hmm. We'll never know until that airs next month.
Yeah.
All right. And our next call will be Hops 2222, one of our favorite guests. Let's bring him in.
22-22-22.
Yes.
All them twos.
Hello, Hobbs. Welcome to Bubblecast 10.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. And have anything to ask us this week?
It's more sort of subjective. I mean, I think may have touched on it last week.
Okay.
I think throughout the series, there's like been a, you know, we've seen like the characters of the day kind of pair up, and if, I'm not saying it's gonna happen, but it's like if any of, like, we have like Ash, Misty, May, and Brock, and then like Max, I'm probably not gonna consider, or Team Rocket. If there could be like one character or someone who would be like the best match for each of those, like Ash, Misty, May, and Brock.
Yes, nice shipping conversation here. We gotta keep the shippers in it, so let's begin this.
We're gonna have the shippers in it later. We got the huge rocket shipping thing that we wanna go into.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And as the queer shipper, I've got plenty to say myself. I mean, I'm a queer shipper is just another kind of rocket shipper, basically. Anyway,
Brock is so totally obvious, it's not funny. Of course we know who we came to go with.
Mm. And who is that?
Lucy!
That's Tommy!
No, I would disagree.
And why would that be?
I think that the ship is a good one-time thing, but I really don't think that there's enough there to support a good ship for a long time. I mean,
but we're only talking about one-off characters here.
All right.
Yes, every single combination of ship that you could imagine, and even including the ones that I'm not going to mention because they're so obscure.
We do have to remember that I think the incomplete list now has over 1,500 ship names.
Yeah,
these are people who don't have any time to think about anything. 1,500, sorry about that. I had to
about that, yeah. Sure. About 1,500 ship names. All of them have had at least one supporter at some point.
Even the ones with inanimate objects, and I can vouch to that.
And that is indeed disturbing.
Yes, it is.
It's a given that if it's on the list, there's probably someone who's written a lemon about it somewhere.
Yeah.
Even the ones with inanimate objects.
We're not going to go into that.
Anyway!
Not right.
Yes, continuing on.
Now, well, what we can talk about next while he's here is the 171 discussion, the whole Deoxys crisis.
Mm.
Oh, yes. Well, maybe we should keep going with the ship thing before I interrupt it with my... No, I don't really think that's the best choice for him. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So anyway, yeah, we're going to move on to AG-171, Deoxys Crisis, the whole 43-minute package special, whatever you want to call it. Very good special. I have to agree, even though it is considered a one... episode. I thought it was going to be considered two, but considering that they only had one ending, and they had four commercial breaks, I think that really proves. Yes. I think it really proves to them that they could do specials like these, and they indeed did it pretty well.
Mm. I'm going to have to disagree with you. I thought the episode was a lot of...
I don't know what to think of the episode, mostly because I was a little confused, because I didn't know what the whole Deoxys situation was. I mean, it doesn't come off as obvious as it usually does when you see episodes in the raw Japanese.
Right.
Well, apparently there was a stone, and I believe Hinata was saying that the energy rays from the sun, I think when it gives off energy rays, it goes to that specific stone. I believe that's the if I recall, that's the pod that Deoxys came in, if I recall.
Yeah, that seemed rather obvious. Yeah. I just didn't know what the situation really was, why there was this huge, oh my god, revelation, when they found out that that's what the Deoxys came here on. It was hard to add everything up, and there's a lot of talking, so I knew something big was going on, but I didn't know exactly what it was.
Well, if you saw the description, you would have seen an effigy of the sun hitting the stone. And,
yeah,
and you could see the wavelengths once they hit a certain point. The pod was exploding. I think that's the real point of this. It's because when the energy levels were sink, Deoxys and all the electric Pokemon really had a hard time. We're in massive amounts of pain, apparently. Mm. And by the end of the special, the thing explodes. Mm. And a lot of questions go unanswered. I mean, it's a very confusing situation. I probably have to watch it about 6 times before I could understand it completely.
There was, I was one wondering. Bit in the ep that really concerned me. They don't explicitly state it, but it seems strongly implied that a lot of Pokemon died during this ep. There would have been a lot of Pokemon caught in those cave networks that all exploded.
They probably did, it's just that they never animated it.
Yeah. That wouldn't have gone over well with the kiddies.
Exactly.
No. Hey, look, here's a Pikachu dying!
I'd like to say that I think Hinata is absolutely heartless. She basically mind-controlled the mill tank and took it into a situation of great danger without any concern for the mill tank's safety. Now, I know that the kids aren't supposed to think about it this deeply, but when I see that, that just really is not right. I mean, taking your own Pokemon who you've trained together with and have a trust and understanding with is one thing, they're taking them into danger is one thing, but taking a wild Pokemon who is trusting you only because this little device made him trust you into a situation of extreme danger like that is just reckless and irresponsible. And if that's all the Rangers do, then they're setting a bad example.
Yeah, but yet again, you have to consider that the target age for this, you know, the 7 to 9-year-olds are not going to think about it this way.
Well, I don't know. I felt the Miltank, when it ran, you could tell it was scared out of its mind. So it wasn't something that was just something that you can just draw from speculation. This was something that they made obvious. I mean... I felt really bad for it when it woke up and realized, oh my god, there's a Deoxys right there!
Well, if you have to consider that, remember that they're brainwashed and they don't remember. It's like the movie Eraser.
There's another reason why I feel bad for the Miltank.
Exactly.
I mean, I kind of liked my old vision of the Rangers when I thought of them like they were just another trainer in the game that happened to be in the wild more and have a lot of grass type Pokemon. I don't really like this kind of Ranger. It's kind of starting to scare me.
It would have been all right if they just asked the wild Pokemon for help, if they had something that allowed for effective communication, and in general, Pokemon being the friendly things that they are, they would help you, but
they're not really given a choice.
The way they've they're not being given a choice.
It's either it's either you get caught, or I don't know, you just run away. I don't know, because they don't even have the choice in the matter. It just happens. You throw that capture device, and if you get away with it, fine. If you're too weak, you're screwed.
There's certainly instances where that sort of the use of that sort of technology would be valid, like trying to stop a rampaging Pokemon or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But
when it's just a mill tank, it's not good.
Just using it on your average wild thing to get it to help you to subdue something dangerous,
something much stronger than it,
that it would by preference run away from. That's just wrong.
But that's the way it's going. That's the whole Ranger premise. You use the Pokemon, let them go.
I mean, even the
and
a keyword
here is use, like in the girlfriend boyfriend kind of use when you take advantage of. Let's say.
I suppose just like getting a Pokemon in itself is a little morally ambiguous. when they don't join willingly. Yeah, well, but now it's even more so. Now the whole fact that they're being forced is a lot more obvious. I mean, with Ash, when he got his Pokemon, it was usually because they chose to go with him.
Well, they become friends.
Yeah. I mean,
whereas in the Ranger premise, they get used and let go.
They're tools.
You just don't want to be you. Yeah, there you go. They're tools.
They're worse than HM slaves in the video game.
Down with Ranger. Down with the Rangers. I gotta say, I think we're on the verge of starting some sort of Bulbagarden anti-Ranger league because, I mean, I had a few problems with the trainers before, but I think the anime cleared almost all of them up. I mean, you could tell they were friends. They were even the recent the ninja episode where the Banzai insisted on attacking Brock before it would be captured. You could tell it wanted to be with Brock. It just wanted to do some sort of test of him first. But I mean, this is just wrong. This has tainted my view of Rangers forever. I liked them before. I wanted Ash to be one. I kind of still do, even with this whole moral ambiguity that Hinata has been showing us.
Well, if you consider in the other direction, if you have almost nothing, and you're in a situation, you could take anybody that you can get.
Mm.
I mean, if you're in a situation that you're about to die, wouldn't you want to get something? Why not just get a Pokemon just for the fact that you have to protect yourself?
Well, that's why trainers have their team.
But if you think about it, Deoxys was a threat. That's how I view it.
It is a valid point. I mean, when you're in an absolute emergency situation, you basically do have to conscript people. And sometimes, I mean, it would certainly be good to be able to conscript people basically be able to force them into doing it rather than having them run off scared.
Exactly.
For the sake of the greater good. But there are still issues there of removing people's free will, and especially if it's not a situation of immediate danger, like with Deoxys. At that point, it wasn't immediately dangerous. It was just some weird events, and honestly, she could have come back with a trainer who did have a Miltank, or even frigging brought Nurse Joy's Chansey or Blissey, considering she came along later.
Anyway.
Speaking of which, that scene was damn nice at the end. With the grab onto something. Now, Scott will hate this because Ash and May did not grab onto each other.
Yes.
But Brock and Nurse Joy were unusually close there. And I know Nurse Joy was holding onto the Pokemon, not Brock, but it was still a cute scene.
Yeah, she was curled up. In fact, if you look at the way, it almost looks like she has her head up against his chest, although it's far away enough that it's hard to tell. Mm. I mean, that was cute. That gave me warm and fuzzy feelings inside.
Now, me being the background music connoisseur, I have to say that...
Connoisseur? Not connoisseur?
Connoisseur, whatever you want to call it. They basically come and copied Movie 7... soundtrack, with the exception of Lovely Boy, but they did have some sort of hints that they were going to, that they had a little bit of a Lovely Boy instrumental thing, but it's not the same thing.
Yep.
But I think the background music was well used. I mean it's ironic. Movie 7 was Deoxys, and this is a Deoxys situation. So, not really ironic. It's sort of expected.
Intentional.
Exactly. Yeah. It's sort of expected. I mean, it's the same. It's going against almost the same plot lines as Movie 7 was. With
a little bit of Wishmaker.
Yeah.
Actually, on that topic, this was a different Deoxys to Movie 7.
Yes.
That can't be doubted.
And you know what? And here's an interesting tidbit. The voice for Deoxys, of course, is obviously different here. The voice used in Movie 7 was a synthesized computer voice, you could tell.
Oh.
In this one, when I was watching it, sounds like a muffled Japanese person speaking. If you notice.
It was a Japanese person's voice being put through some effects.
Yeah, but you could probably decipher some words from
those
things.
I heard some words that I understood, which is really, that really says something about how it was notably some sort of Japanese voice.
Mm-hmm. Well, right up until now, we've been thinking of Deoxys as Pokemon. Mm. And in the context of pocket monsters, maybe they are, but maybe from the way the Deoxys as a species might look at it, maybe they're just their own world's form of, I don't know, the dominant life form, the humanity. Yeah.
The sentient species.
Yeah.
I don't, they kind of creep me out. They're like, they come off as some sort of giant space virus. I mean, that's, a virus is just some genetic code and a protein. Mm. Deoxys is most, its body seems to be mostly composed of genetic coding. That's kind of creepy. It's a space virus to me.
Mm.
Very good point there. For the people who don't know, there are four forms of Deoxys. There's the speed, there is the speed form, which is kind of like it's kind of like a small, a slimmer version of itself. We have defense form,
Weaker.
Where it has that, yes, it has a big round, it makes its head round. Then you have the normal form, which is the normal Deoxys. And I believe, if I recall correctly, the last form is attack.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, and that is used to obviously attack.
Mm. It was interesting to note that Hinata knew that she'd only be able to capture it in normal form, which kind of implies that the Ranger Association has dealt with a Deoxys before.
Mm. I don't know. I think she learned that by trying
No.
Right then and there.
No, she said that was information she'd received from the Ranger organization. She It would have to be in normal form for her to capture it.
Okay.
Or at least the speed form, it would have been pretty difficult. It just kept jumping away.
And the defense form, it could break out. Attack form, it could probably just attack the ring.
Yeah.
Cut it open, basically. So it makes sense that only in the normal form would she be able to capture the Deoxys.
It was good to see a Pokemon that didn't just stand there looking dumbfounded at the ring and actually did something about it.
Right.
Yep.
Because considering its strength.
He broke out of it like three times?
Yeah.
Good four or five times, yes.
Yeah.
So I think that's all that has to be said about the Deoxys episode. Lots of explosions.
And not to mention the whole Movie 9 preview that we got here, but we already had those trailers from before. Mm. And
actually, there's a few new frames, but, you know.
Yeah, but, it's
and
still.
And if you watch
same old.
It still bothers me that Mei has so much connection to baby Pokemon. It's going to bother me for a long, long time.
If you guys watch that preview again, by the way, you can see what I mentioned earlier, how the movie is being billed as Ranger, not Advanced Generation.
Yeah, but yet the characters are still intact, as I said.
Yeah.
Yeah, characters are still intact for now, yeah.
So they better keep them intact, because even if it's for a short, even if they get rid of the characters for like a short period of time, many fans are going to be upset.
Exactly.
No.
Many fans won't know for several years because all they're watching is the dub.
Yep.
That's very true.
But also,
speaking of the dub, sorry, Pi. Speaking of the dub, do you think the Deoxys will make it to the dub?
Yes.
Yes, it will. They have no reason not to.
Well, there
it doesn't
a lot
fit
of
anywhere
explosions.
In the episode. I mean, in the series arc.
It is billed as an episode, so they're probably going to see it.
Well if there's
it
any
wasn't huge filler.
If there's
it
any,
it wasn't done like the Mewtwo special. It was done as a double length episode. Honestly,
right,
if Pokemon USA wanted to, it would not be that hard to split it halfway and make it a to be continued.
Mm.
Yeah, you just have to add an extra frame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just a narration.
Yeah, and a bit of ominous music.
I think if there's any reason that it would be cut out of the dub, I think it's just because maybe it's just me, but this episode seemed a little overboard with the explosions and such and the level of destruction. Maybe I'm just being paranoid.
A lot of
but
CG.
It's, oh yeah, plenty of CG. But that last time I checked, they didn't ban based on CG before, unfortunately.
Well. I think they had to meet a quota.
Yeah.
Because this had
but
a lot of CG.
There were so many explosions. It was kaboom all over the place. I mean, it was over the top in terms of the level of destruction in this episode, or at least I thought it was.
I was wondering, like, why did that rock kind of just destabilize and then blow up?
Boom!
Solar energy.
We assume, yeah.
Basically, there was a solar flare on a lot of them. And that was screwing up its magnetic field, which, of course, screwed up the electric Pokemon.
and it had some sort of effect on this rock composed of whatever strange material it was composed of.
Possibly metal.
Possibly some, mostly some sort of metal, and eventually it just exploded. Whatever just built up inside it and it exploded, yeah.
Pokemon physics at work again.
It's still possible.
It's possible, but it requires a lot of stretching, and overall it came off as Pokemon physics to me. I don't know about anyone else.
I just remembered. Mm-hmm. We did actually see this meteor, or whatever it is, crash into the Pokemon world, which means mm-hmm. we saw a shot of the world from space.
Oh, what did it look like?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
not Earth. That is not an Earth shape.
Oh, I actually like that. Personally,
We can see Kanto and Johto, but they did not appear to fit together like Japan does.
That actually kind of... Personally, I actually like that because I've never been a big fan of all the hints that we have that this is just an alteration of our own world. It kind of makes the series... This is going to sound corny, but it kind of takes away some of the magic of the series if it's our own world just with different creatures. So that makes me happy that they decided to make it a new world entirely or something.
The only problem, actually, is that the way it looked, I couldn't actually be sure that they're exactly on an island. It kind of... Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's just the angle that I saw things from, but when I originally saw that scene, I was thinking, they're talking about a meteor striking somewhere else here, because I couldn't see that as Kanto originally. It actually looked more like it might have been Tunguska in Russia.
Well, it wasn't... let me see. The only Earth shot I can recall is the one with the ghosts on 46, if I recall correctly.
So anyway... Is there anything else really to say about this episode?
Well, besides the ominous DS Lite giveaway that is in Japan, which I think is completely irrelevant because if anyone even attempted to answer that, they still wouldn't get in because the Japanese mail service wouldn't get there in time. But the DS, that DS Lite does look interesting, though.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, you know, they
I'm surprised they've even been able to keep them back.
Yeah, and you know how sometimes, actually that's what they do most of the times, when they show a product, when they show off, ooh, this nice DS, they used to do the nice CG effects with the glare. And, sometimes I think it's cheesy on their part, but alright, it's just a glamour thing, and... Kids are attracted to shiny objects. And I think this is the time to remind you that we do have an email address, bulbacast@bulbacarton.net. Nobody emails us.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You have to email.
We've been asking them on the English edition, but nobody's been emailing us. We want to answer all these answer questions on the English edition that people email in. But we can't really do that because nobody's sending us questions into the email address.
And here's a plug for this.
You can also post your questions on the forums if you don't feel like using email.
Exactly. We have a forum set up right now. We're going to have a forum set up for every single Bulbacast. We're going to have one for review, one for question and answers. We have had a flood of posts on that question and answer thread alone.
You don't have to wait for us to set up a thread. You can post your own thread. That's okay.
Anyway.
Speaking of which, shall we start answering some of those questions?
Well, first of all...
Okay, do we need to finish up the speculation on those new episode titles, or are we done there already?
Well, we could do the other episode that we didn't speculate about, the Team Rocket one.
Yeah.
But we could also save that for another one, because there's a lot of ongoing speculation, and we have a lot to discuss this week already. Might as well leave something for next week.
Exactly, because we're going to have 172, and that will open up more doors to say.
Oh, yes.
All right, so Hobbs, thank you for calling in. You have any more questions before I hang up on you?
Can I just kind of give my point on, like, that shipping thing?
Sure.
Yeah, we never really got back to that.
Sure, go right ahead.
Kind of on, I'm probably going to say this more in like a generalized manner. Like, for Brock, it's something like, you know, ideally it'd be someone who kind of shares a, you know, same interest, like breeding and all. But I don't know, whether that's going to happen, I don't know, but...
Brock's up in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They have no thoughts on his shipping right now, I bet.
Yeah. Like, May's probably a little more narrow. I mean,
right.
If spin her off, I mean, that would be pretty nice, actually.
Yes, that would be great.
That, and, like, you know, I haven't seen much of Drew lately, actually, so I don't know what he's doing.
Maybe they'll make another Hoso spinoff of those two, like they've done with the AG Hosos, where the revisiting old characters. Perhaps that's what they're going to do.
Maybe, who knows? But continue.
And again, like Misty, I really don't know too much. I mean, I haven't seen her too many episodes, so too many of the Hosos, so we don't really. I would think, I used to be like, you know, the whole poker shipping thing. Not now. Kind of just wait and see what happens. But whether she comes back or not, actually, would be nice for her to come back because I haven't seen her in so long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for Ash, I really don't care. It's whenever he grows up. I don't even know if he has really begun to really, you know, grow up yet or anything.
Well,
like that.
He doesn't.
I'd say,
yeah, he doesn't get anything.
I'd say he's 17 though, so maybe he has.
No, he's not 17.
He I would have said 15, short. 16. 15, 16.
I'd say he's more 13, 14.
Yeah, no, he's more mature.
He started at 12 in Japan.
He started at 10 in Japan.
He did?
Yes.
Oh, okay, then I'll agree with Pi, 13, 14. Approximately a year for Kanto.
Is 3 years our time.
Approximately half a year for Johto, because I remember it was at about Goldenrod when they said it had been a year. So, approximately maybe one more year for Hoenn. Wouldn't have even been 6 months since he's come back to Kanto.
Yeah. It's
Orange Island is probably like another.
The conversion most people use is that 1 year in our time will three years in our time will translate into about 1 year of development in the anime. And I gotta say, since we're talking about shipping, one of the reasons, the main reason why I am a Poke shipper is because Ash doesn't get it so much that I would think the only person who could beat the concept of romance into him is Misty. That's why I support Poke shipping in its entirety. Simple
they
as
traveled
that.
Together for so long, so she probably knows what he's like.
She's willing to wait. Yes, she's willing to beat that into him just to get him. Other girls, they might have crushes on him, but they move on. She's stubborn, and that's what we like about Misty. Anyway,
yeah, so he's like, I was trying to like get how old he was roughly, like 13, 14, 15, it's okay, so he's maybe just beginning puberty or something like that, but it's like, still, I think he would probably get some of this stuff. It's like, it's
yeah, he's
not
he's a,
going through it all.
He really is not as aware about that stuff as the average kid. Even if he was like 10, this would be thick.
Well,
but,
considering that his only real constant male role model at the moment is Brock, you can't exactly blame him for missing all the signs.
Yeah. It's going to be... when he does start to get it, it's going to be...
amusing.
Yes, because Brock will be his teacher, and he's going to get so screwed
gosh.
Up.
Teacher.
I think
Brock will be going like it in the manga. He'll be envious.
I think that's just another season of material right there.
Yep.
So if that sparks any ideas in the Japanese writers, go right ahead.
Do it! We would love it! We would love to see the misadventures in romance of Ash and Brock. We would love it. We would love you forever.
That reminds me, I must ask Alex to finish off that old fan art she was going to do for me. A mock-up of a dust cover for... Men are from Kanto, women are from Hoenn. Written by Brock.
Oh, God. Anyway.
Yes.
So, now shall we move on to the questions?
Yes, and we would like to say, well, Hobbs, do you have any other questions besides those other three that you've pitched to us?
No, not really.
All right,
thanks a lot, Hobbs, for
See
calling.
Ya.
We'll definitely have you on again. All right, hey. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Goodbye. Our next call-in will be Winter. Let's welcome him. Hello, Winter. Welcome to Bulbacast 10.
Thank you.
So,
you have anything to talk about, Winter?
Did anyone have any more Ranger questions?
Actually, as a matter of fact, you could help us answer these questions that we have
sure,
on the site
absolutely.
Here. Because you've posted the thread.
Exactly.
So it's only fair that we answer it within your presence here.
Yay!
Yay! Right. Let's get to this new section we have here, question and answer, that we have on the form here, as we mentioned earlier.
Alright.
Well, 1 second. Before we get to that, though, I'd like to ask your opinion, Winter, on something we were just discussing a little earlier.
Okay.
With the Pokemon Rangers, how do you perceive them capturing the Pokemon? Is that, like, mind control, taking away their free will, or is it something else? How do you see
that? In my opinion,
having
I think
the game?
I think it's the Rangers channeling the help of their Pokemon, channeling the help, rather. They need their help to, you know, complete something, and between the bond between humans and Pokemon, you know, it's kind of a mutual friendship there, maybe?
That's a good way of looking at it. I actually like that way of looking at it. The way the anime presents it kind of comes off a little creepy, but I guess if you put it in that light, it starts, like, seeming nicer, actually.
Well, it's kind of funny, because when, what was it, AG-155, I think it was, when the girl tried to capture the Linoon, they made it look a lot easier than it is in the real game, because if that was in the game, the Linoon would try to break out of the circle, so...
Yeah.
Well, if they're resisting, doesn't that mean that they don't want to do it?
They don't want to do it, but, so yeah, you could say it's mind control. But also, you can also look at it from the respect of, I need your help, so...
You're going to
scripting.
Exactly.
Well, let's get on with these questions.
Yeah, all right. Question time. Who wants to read the first question? Or what question are we going to ask first?
No, I'm sorry about that. I should get it up in front of me. My fault.
Well, there's the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow, but anyway...
Yeah, if you want to answer a couple of Misty's questions, I say we add them for a little bit of comedy effort.
Yeah,
okay.
Actually, the airspeed of an unladen swallow, we should actually be able to figure that out. I mean, it's basically equivalent to a Pokemon in real an animal in real life, and surely we know which... I guess that's the point. What type of swallow does it equate to? African or European?
Whichever one's bigger and faster, I think, because it seems to... Pokemon seem to have crazy stats as any of the information that the Pokédex gives us. Although, I actually had someone give me a theory rather recently that I kind of believe that the Pokédex is basically lying. In most cases, where it's talking about Pidgeot's flying at Mach 10 and all these ridiculous numbers, all these different ridiculous stats, it's basically just lying.
So it was Mach 1.
Mach 1? I don't know.
It was Mach 2, and it was Pidgeotto, as far as I remember. That was with the School of Hard Knocks episode?
Yeah. But there's a lot of stuff in the games, like, with these ridiculously out there statistics. And someone just suggested to me that it's all lying. And things start to make sense if you look at things in the Pokédex in that light. Apparently, it's even worse in Monster Rancher.
Those stats are the highest numbers ever recorded? I mean, maybe the Olympic class Pidgeotto recorded that, but the average Pidgeotto can't.
One with the hasty nature and with all his EVs.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Now, I'm going to have a few questions from Sunan here that she posted in the thread.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here. Oh, this was a good one. I'll start off with this one. She asks, with Ranger being the first episode over 24 minutes in length, do you think that we will see more special episodes this long and are part of the main story arc?
Absolutely. I think they're going to milk Ranger for all it's worth, at least for the next 4 months.
Well, I think she was more referring to special episodes in terms of other things, not besides Ranger.
Okay.
And in terms of the series, though, there will be instances that there will be special episodes. I mean, they're not going to get off the Hoso niche just yet. by canceling the Eiji Hosos when they started Pokemon Sunday. I really think they're going to be more double episodes because there have been many series that is copied off of Detective Conan being one of them. But to consider how much time and effort the editors do and the artists for a double episode, I think it would be possible that we'll see this probably down the road. Maybe not in the next 30 episodes, but certainly down the road in the next 50, I would say. Probably next season. Well, there is no season, but next arc or whatever it may be. And let's see. This one's a pretty interesting spin. She also asks, do you think the Pokemon movies fall under the Star Trek movie syndrome? The even-numbered Star Trek films are superior to the odd-numbered Star Trek films. Movie 9 being an odd-numbered movie, is it doomed from the get-go? Wow.
I've liked quite a few of the odd-numbered movies. I think the only one that anyone would go out of their way to say was really bad was the Deoxys one. And, yeah.
No,
I mean,
five was great. One was great.
Yeah.
Three, I don't know.
Three was okay. Three wasn't spectacular, but it was good.
Possibly my favorite, actually. I really enjoyed that one.
Well, my favorite's definitely 8, but...
There's been good odd ones, good even ones.
Yeah, the only one that everyone would agree wasn't good was 7. That's the only one that you can base... That's the only one you could base that argument on.
Lovely boy.
Yeah.
That's it. That's
all. Calvachan.
Yes, Calvachan. No need to get into that.
Anyway.
Let's see.
So, yeah, it doesn't really fall under the syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Now, this one's also very interesting. Mm-hmm. She also asks, E3 is quickly approaching. Will Diamond and Pearl make an appearance or debut, or will Nintendo wait until later in the year, as they've done with many other titles?
Hopefully they won't wait. Hopefully we'll make a debut, because we want to know as much about this as possible. Have we had to wait this long before a new game?
Gold and Silver was released in 1999, November 1999.
What's the gaps? What are the gaps?
About 3 years, usually.
Yeah, and how long has this gap been?
3 years?
Emerald was released in 2004.
I'm talking about from the first ones to first ones. The breaking out of the generations.
Ruby Sapphire was in 2002, so about 4 years almost.
Yeah, it seems like the gaps are getting longer. And while I guess that's good because I don't want to see them rush.
Complex.
Yeah, I don't want to see them rush, and they usually make them very good when they come out. But the gaps are getting longer, and so the fans' patience wear thinner. Hopefully it won't get to the point where every generation they'll add a year to the gaps, because if they do that, then so eventually we'll have 10-year gaps, and people will forget what Pokemon is in between.
Okay,
that'll be into the mother syndrome.
Yeah. All right, we're going to have 3 more questions here, because they all are very good. Thank you, Sunny, for those questions. Those are very, very good. This one's a kind of a long one, so listen to it. She asks, why do you think Chronicles is delayed in North America? Europe has already seen the complete set available on DVD. Possible redubbing of she says here, possible redubbing of the North American release, new episodes for the summer, Australia, and to key off of that. And on that note, she also says, Australia is getting Indigo and Orange League box sets, yet North America is still getting the 3 episodes of disc deal with the newly announced 10th anniversary of the box Pokemon disc treatment. Why wouldn't they just release the 10th anniversary box sets instead? Marketing ploy, greed, or just plain stupid? And possibly remastered episodes in Blu-ray and HD DVD. That's the questions.
Okay, we're getting box sets? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Australia is getting a box set.
Yes, they are.
Yes, you are, you luckies.
Yes, you are getting box sets.
But it's dubbed. I don't want it. I'll sell it to you, though.
Oh, yes, sure. I'll buy it.
Yeah, but...
The dub.
It's in PAL. On my DVD player.
It's in PAL. It's not on NTSC.
So all TVs these days are compatible with both PAL and NTSC.
That's also true.
I want to move to Australia.
then suffer with the internet.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next portion of the question, the Chronicles, delayed in North America.
No word.
No word
at all.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to redub it or not.
I don't think so.
Well, considering what the poor job they've done with the Ryko special.
They could, if given that the whole the dub is changing hands, I would assume that has a lot to do with why...
No, it's already done.
Yeah, well, I know. The changing hands. The changing hands probably has a lot to... something to do with the delay, especially if they want it to be redubbed, because obviously if it was redubbed by Four Kids, it would have been done before this all happened. So if anyone's going to be redubbing it, it's going to be Pokemon USA. And Pokemon USA just took on this whole project on their own, and if they are actually considering redubbing it, like, there is an outcry for them to do, which apparently they do listen to outcry, so if they are going to be redubbing it, which the fans would love, please, big puppy eyes, yeah. Then...
They're not redubbing it, I don't think. I'm pretty sure that the delay is simply because 4Kids licensed a group to make these DVDs. 4Kids are now no longer giving out licenses, but the license, the sub-license that that other group has is still, for the moment, valid. And that will run out soon, and when that runs out, Nintendo can then release their stuff. The other group only has a very limited range of things they're allowed to make DVDs of. So unless 4Kids told them, make a DVD box, they can't make a DVD box.
What are you saying, PPN?
Who has the license for the videos? Is it Viz?
I don't know.
Because I think in America it is Viz, and that license needs to be renegotiated now that PUI have it. In Australia, it's already been renegotiated.
I see.
Now,
and the UK, where these were released, it's another company.
Yes, and I think in the UK, they'd already released them before PUI took over, so they didn't need that whole thing.
Right.
Moving
Even
on.
Even though 4Kids did the dub and the video work.
Yeah, 4Kids were not the distributors of their own DVDs.
Yeah.
But they did affect the... the translation and the dubbing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then that license company.
Yeah, and then they would have the...
afterwards, right? Got it.
Yeah.
Now,
okay.
Next up, I'm just going to skip over the 10th anniversary box sets because at this point it's going to be Pokemon on the disc, and I don't think it's going to be redone. But she does have a good point of possibility of remastered DVD episodes on HD, DVD, or Blu-ray. I mean, you could fit a lot of episodes on... Well,
no, it's not
going to
happen.
No. Neither of those formats is going to last before the next generation of formats. In the US, they will be like MD format was. I mean, in Japan, MDs took off. So fair enough, in Japan, your Blu-rays and whatever might keep going for a while. But... in the US and in other countries around the world, these will be fairly short-lived formats with fairly high prices that, I mean, you may continue to get support for them for a while simply because Japan's still getting support, but in the end, they will be superseded by probably hard disk players.
Mm-hmm. Next up from Sumane is Pokemon.com. She has comments on it. Fan sites are now overtaking Pokemon.com on hits. Do they really care about the website, or is it because that the fan sites have better information? Do you think that the flash on the website is good or bad? She personally thinks that she finds it annoying, and the reason why she never visits.
Pokemon.com does not have detailed info. In fact, this is the same case with a lot of official sites. They do not have real detailed info, do not give news as quick as the... fan sites. I mean, it's really pathetic when the fan sites get the press releases up before the official site can even bother to do it.
Yeah.
And
I do that all the time.
I mean, we can't actually be totally sure that the fan sites are getting more hits or not. I mean, like, for example, I showed some people this a while back, but Cerebia has a higher ranking than Pokemon.com on... the Alexa rankings, but those only really count users of Internet Explorer who have Alexa's thing in. So, is it just because the little kids visiting Pokemon.com haven't been infected with the Alexa fireware? Is it because you've got adults visiting Pokemon.com but they're using Firefox? It's difficult to tell.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a look at the Alexa statistics, Bulbagarden gets... a significantly higher ranking than either Smogon or Pokegym, both of which on the surface seem to be a lot more active. And the user bases of all three have heavy usage of Firefox. Bulbaguns is probably the lowest of the three. We've only got about 50% usage. I'm not sure what the other two sites are. Smogan's probably almost 90%, knowing them. Polka Gym, hard to tell.
Yeah. I was just going to make one comment. I think Pokemon.com has no excuse for making it because it's for not making it a good website because its Japanese counterpart is excellent. I visit it every Friday when it's updated.
I don't visit it regularly because I don't understand any of it. That said, but whenever people show me the links, I just like, wow, why is this so good? Why is ours so bad?
They need
why
to put
take 20 minutes to load on broadband.
In Japan, well, you have to remember that in Japan, fan sites don't tend to be as huge, and fandoms don't tend to be as centralized.
Mm-hmm. You have the other factions. You have PokéAnnie, Live Door. Live Door. Some other fan sites.
Live Door's a blog. It's not. Live Door is a blog site like Live Journal.
Yeah.
It is not a specific fan site. You've just got people commenting on other people's blogs.
Yep.
Yeah, they seem to get more information than the official sites, which is kind of like the same thing as the U.S. counterparts here.
What I don't understand, though, with the TCG, Polka Gym has basically become the unofficially official forums for the game. I mean, you get PU representatives on it fairly frequently. In fact, there's one forum where PUI representatives and Polka Gym staff who are members of the actual rules team, who, like, I guess they sort of do, sort of don't work for PUI, reply to people's questions about the rules. So the place is acknowledged by Nintendo. If they can do that for the TCG, why can't they do that for the games and anime? Because there are certainly some big sites out there which could easily fill that spot. I mean, your only problem there is, are they going to fit outside of the target age group?
Yeah. I think that's the main issue.
Might be fair. I mean, Smogan's the target market.
Mm-hmm.
Though, honestly, if Smoganites were given an opportunity to run an official site, I'm sure they could do it and keep it child-friendly and have their bits split off to another forum.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
As for anime, well, Bulbagarden and Cerebi would be fighting it out there.
Rawr!
Grrr! But still, moving around, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, last question. Last set of questions for Sam here, because she is awesome about giving us synopsis and other questions about the Bulbacast. Glory Day is now the longest ending. In terms of how many times it's been shown, has it overstayed its welcome? Do you think that there's a reason a Spurt CD hasn't been released because they're waiting for the new ending so it can be included? Usually a new opening and ending are included in the single CD. Do you think that Perfect Best 2 CD is kind of pointless without Spurt? Now!
Go away, Glory Day!
I do admit that Glory Day has indeed overstayed its welcome. It has...
Oh, God.
It has been...
I wasn't...
60 episodes now.
I wasn't that fond of Glory Day at the start. I mean, at the beginning, it wasn't so bad. I just didn't think it was that fitting for Pokemon. Now I have heard it so many times that hearing it is getting to the point where I'm bordering on a homicidal rage when I hear that song. I can't stand it. Get rid of it.
At least it burns the lyrics into your head.
Oh,
you
God.
Should sing it in karaoke now.
No. I reached a point where I mean, I don't pick up on Japanese lyrics that easily anyway. I kind of picked up Battle Frontiers, but really, I'm just skipping. I'm glad I have the files downloaded, because then I could just skip over that ending. I want it to go away. Go away. Go away.
Yeah, but there are some people that want to have Glory Day remain because it is...
Why?
Because the upbeat song. We need another Garden ending. The only Garden songs that we have right now are Advance Adventure and Glory Day. We need another song from them. They actually have an album out. Why can't they just use a song from their album to put over here? Now I want to find a Garden album because they're good music.
I don't like it. I don't even think it's that upbeat. You want a beat? Try Look Ahead, Team Rocket. This is it makes me think of
that's just a mockery.
I know.
A mockery.
I like it. I like it better than this. A lot better. This doesn't fit Pokemon. This has been here for too long. This is getting really annoying. If I had to choose between losing May and losing this ending, I would get rid of this ending and keep May for whatever period of time.
Yes, but have you noticed that the fan base in Garden, the fan base in Garden in terms of the usage in the anime. You have Advance Adventure, which ran for 70 times. You had 70.
That was okay. Advance Adventure was good.
That's obvious. Well, the interesting thing was that Advance Adventure was not written by Garden themselves. It was written by another composer. I forget the name at the moment. Glory Day was written by themselves. Based on the feelings and emotions for that song, it really has defined AG, because it's supposed to be a happy feeling. You're supposed to have a feeling of accomplishment, that you've accomplished something. Now, I'm not saying that it should be here forever. I do agree.
It should leave,
because we had three different versions of this, and countless versions of from AG-150 on. But I do not agree that they should get rid of Garden entirely. Just simply because...
Yeah, give them a new song. That would be
fine.
Yes,
give them a new song. Now, here's the thing, though. If they put Haruka's theme at the end of... If they make Haruka's theme the new ending, I am just going to stop watching it.
Oh, God.
Because that is annoying. I'm sorry.
No, I'm okay with with the Haruka's theme. I actually like that more than Glory Day. Having a May-centric theme would be like having an Ash-centric theme. I mean, yes, she is the second fiddle, but she gets so much anyway. Having ending theme devoted to her would be really redundant.
Alright. EV1 asks, by how much do the stat-raising badges actually raise a Pokemon stats by? E.G. Brock
said. We don't
know. No idea.
Someone who knows about games. Sorry, that is not us. When we get a game cast, maybe. Smogon would probably know. Off the top of my head, I think 5%. But
I'd say about 10, going by the logic of the... Oh, my fault.
No, the bonuses do not show up in your stats, and you only see it in your combat damage, but you're not going to really notice your combat damage because all the combat calculations that have been done to figure out exactly how we figure out damage and so forth are done based on having all the badges. No one's really done them based on when I just started the game with a level 5 character, because it's very difficult to do it when you have such low scores to get an equation that will work for the whole game.
I mostly forget that the badges even do that. I mean, well, most I really care about is progressing in the game, being able to do the HMs and all that. I don't know. It's not something that anyone really thinks about much. The badges are just... Oh, yeah, they give some bonus to your Pokemon stats. Who knows what.
All right. Paper Fairy asks, the GS ball, was its purpose simply to lure Satoshi to the orange... is it Shoto?
Shoto.
In the manga, it was the only item that would capture Celebi, whereas in the games it was used to lure Celebi.
In the anime, they pretty much just forgot about it after they gave it to Kurt. That's it.
Yep. Well, that's actually a later question, pretty much.
Yeah. They haven't come back to it yet. Maybe if they really like us, they'll someday answer that age-old question of whatever was the deal with that GS ball. But as it stands... I go with my theory that it was just really a big paperweight, and Kurt didn't want to tell them that they were wrong and all along about its special powers. That's my theory.
I think in the anime, I think that the anime creators didn't want to put Satoshi right into Johto right away, so they decided to create the Orange League for that purpose.
Yeah, I believe at the time of the Orange Islands, they were still hinting about GS. Almost everything was unknown about it. That we were getting kind of new Pokemon, just like we're getting now, the fourth generation Pokemon, and we're getting little hints of things that will appear. That's basically the period that they were in when they went into the Orange Islands. And
what movie was coming out about that same time?
Pokemon the movie 2000, the one with Lugia.
After that.
Chairman
Kaga. After that?
Well, during the GS Ball.
After that, they were in Johto, and it was the one with Entei and the Anon. And...
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So the one in the Orange Islands.
It couldn't have been
the
Celebi movie.
Celebi movie happened after GS Ball, and there was no mention of the GS Ball in the Celebi movie.
No, there wasn't.
Alright.
It's still an unknown. It's an unknown.
Anime reason unknown. Why, yes. Unknown. We know what it's for in the games and
in the
manga.
In the anime, it's just a paperweight for now. What? If and when they decide to go back to it.
I never will, because I forgot about it.
Okay.
Sword Jolteon, we already addressed the question of, with the Hinata brainwashing Pokemon, putting them in extreme danger. We had a pretty good discussion about that, actually.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Another Misty question that I think we're going to overlook.
The answer is yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And our final question would be from Chosen of Mana. What would your ideal group be for anime Diamond and Pearl? Mm. This could be an interesting debate.
Here we go.
I want to see who the new Diamond Pearl characters are first before I make that judgment.
Obviously,
I liked Ash and Misty, but I'm not sure I want Brock, and it really depends if they're going to do one series or if, like rumored, they are going to have a spin-off running alongside.
My personal feelings are, given the characters we know already, I think what the group that I would like to see most are, Ash, Misty, May, and Brock, actually, believe it or not. The thing is, though, I actually really do want to see what the new characters are. I would like to see new characters introduced, even if it meant getting rid of Brock. Sob. But what I want to see from the group, just the specific characters aside, I want to see a group with at least two girls. I am sick and tired of Pokemon sticking to...
Girl.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I mean, Pokemon, it's been pretty good with gender equality, but there's still a lot of ways in which it sticks to some pretty sexist, pretty gender role things, and the fact that it adheres to the Smurfette rule is one of them. And in fact, it kind of got worse in that department when it introduced May, because even if May is, quote-unquote, more important than Misty was, she diverges less from the female stereotype, and she seems, she comes off as just Ash but girlier. And that makes her more of an adherent to the Smurfette rule. And then you have the fact that Max is introduced, which changes the percentage from 33% to 25%.
I just had a revelation here. I'm wondering, in the next Pokemon special manga, maybe they'll start introducing the Diamond Pearl characters. Because the Pokemon specials, of course, they come out every 6 months. It's about due for late May or early June, possibly.
Yes.
Now with Movie 9 coming along, we might be able to see... Well, we might be able to see Diamond and Pearl characters, possibly Rangers, too. Because considering that... I actually have Volume 21 right here, but I haven't read it yet. But as far as I know, maybe they're going to introduce the Rangers and Diamond and Pearl characters towards the end of that special.
One suggestion I've heard is that for the anime, if they want to bulk things out a little before Diamond and Pearl, and they're not going to have a Pokemon Ranger series, like a Pokemon Ranger arc, then they might consider doing just Ash, Misty, and May, and doing shipping again.
Oh, God.
I mean, that would be very fun.
Yes, it would. It also...
It also
ignite the fandom into one giant civil war.
Because...
Is that a problem? It would make things interesting again.
Well, true.
Things are
well,
dull
that's
now.
One way to get your There's fans no interested again is to get them into some sort of a fight.
Yeah. Remember you know, the old like shipping a... debates? We drew hundreds of people into those, typing up 1,000-word posts every day.
And all the ship, and all the, I guess that's true, all the land, all the, everyone still has their stances on all the major ships. I mean, I think most of us here are pro Poke, anti Advance, and that's
I'm not necessarily anti Advance. It's just I don't see it happening in the anime. I mean, I like a lot of shippings, and I do like Advance shipping. It is cute, but not over contest shipping.
Oh, yes, contest shipping. One of the few things I like about May is contest shipping. Anyway.
And that's our last question. Thanks to Sunane, thanks to Great Liver, and thanks to Paper Fairy.
And anyone else?
Yeah,
right.
I chose Amana, my fault.
Okay.
Don't forget... check up on the Bob Garden forums or on Bob News or Pocket News or even on the Pocket Community forums for the latest updates on when the next Bobcast recording session will be, as well as when episodes are actually going to be released.
And make sure you can check PocketMonsters.net for every single anime-related needs. And remember, please, we need people in the IRC channel.
Yes,
IRC.
If you want to call in, get in the Bulbacast channel, please. Makes our job easier.
Indeed.
Exactly. IRC.datatunes.net is the server. Pound Bulbacast is the channel. 1 hour before recording time we open, and we will take suggestions, call-ins, questions, whatever you may have. And please don't forget to visit Pound Bulba Garden, because everybody wants you there. We have a lot of people there right now. And we want to keep that at a high number, so please, 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 please add it to your auto joins. Add it to anything. Download yourself IRC client. Who knows?
You might we don't have an IRC client. We have a Java client on Bubble Garden.
Exactly.
Use
so
it.
No
please.
Excuses. If you have Java, you just use the client we have there. Please click on the top of the Bubble Garden form. You have it there. It says chat. It's easy enough to remember. Pound Pocket Monsters, please. Once again, all your episode needs. Dubs, Japanese version, anything you may need. So please, do yourself a favor. Visit all of these places, because without them, we wouldn't be here right now. So please, please visit them.
And as long as we're doing plugs, the Sova campaign... well, come on, there's as long as we're still doing plugs, the Sova campaign is still on, and if you support keeping the original voice actors, we are glad to help you out, and we would be glad for your help in helping us. And
indeed.
check out the Bulba Garden forum for more information, because I'm not in the mood to read that address right now.
All right,
and with those plugs,
would you like to plug
me, everyone?
No,
I already plugged in.
All right, okay.
And that'll just about wrap it up for Bulbacast 10. I'd like to thank everybody here that participated in this cast. PPN Steve, Pi Archaic, our Collins, Hobbs 2222 Nintendo Theater, and Winter, of course. I am Tasis Killer, and we all will say goodbye, everyone, and we'll see you next week for Bulbacast 11. Good night.
And with that, thank you for listening, everyone. See you again next week. Good night, Mina.